Blog Talk Radio.
Services we used to have back in the day. You know, we have a revival service that would go from 2 to 3 weeks at a time, you know. And every night, when the minister finished preaching, we have an old-fashioned altar call. And everybody would come around the altar and kneel down on their knees and offer to God a sincere prayer. Everybody praying out to the Lord in their own words. I remember my mother was singing old songs. Pass me not, oh gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. I want to, can we go back? Can we go back today? Can we go back today? See this on here. I want y'all to live up your voice and have the see this on here tonight. God bless you. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, raise your voice and help us to them. Come on, everybody.
Indeed, pass us not, O gentle Savior. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope and pray that you are in good spirits today, in a good mood. It's beautiful now. It's bright and sunny. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And it's November 2nd, and it happens to be my daughter Rachel's birthday. So happy birthday, Rachel. And we are looking at Romans 16. By the way, what a wonderful prayer meeting we had last night. I've already started. I've already started to read the Finney book, chapter 17. It's only 7 pages. It's only 7 pages, and on the 8th page is like 2 or 3 sentences on the 8th page. So it's really 7 pages. I've already started to read. What a blessing this chapter is. So get on it, saints. Start reading for next Tuesday. Next Tuesday's chapter 17. And I got to tell you, as I listen to our people pray on Tuesday night, I can see tremendous development and growth in the people's confidence in talking to God, their Father. I'll give you 2 examples. Maybe next week I'll give you another 2. But this week, I was blessed to see Brother Michael Pickard express himself the way he did. He's a quiet man. He's a very quiet man. But I heard him, and I heard seasoning. I heard maturity. The other person was our dear sister Amy Hart. She was on fire. Now, that's not to say that the other saints weren't on fire, but, you know, I hear things on Tuesday night, and everyone is seeking the Lord. Everyone, every prayer leader is praying and doing their part. And as a pastor, it just makes me feel so blessed to be the shepherd of this flock. And, of course, we owe a great thanks to Sister Linda Hart, who puts it all together each and every Tuesday. So let me remind you, again, let's pray every day. Let's pray for the churches and the pastors in St. Johnsville. Let's pray for the churches and the pastors in Palatine Bridge and over there in Fort Plain and over there in Little Falls every day. Let's just pray for the pastors and the churches. We're not in competition with anyone. We are one big family. It's about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God includes all these churches. So let's continue to pray for every pastor, every church. Also, don't forget to pray for the streets of St. Johnsville. And don't forget to pray for your pew, that God will fill that pew with new converts and mature saints. We're believing, we're trusting in God for a revival. Well, Romans chapter 16, and we are looking at verses 13 and 14 this week, and we're looking at verse 13 in particular today. So let me play that for you. Romans 16, starting at verse 1, all the way down to verse 13. Thus begins the reading of God's holy word.
I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine.
And there is the text. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, his mother and mine. Heavenly Father, we again come to the throne of grace, seeking your assistance, seeking your help, seeking enlightenment, seeking truth, seeking blessing. Edify your people today via your word, Lord. Your word is our food. It's our nourishment. We pray, Lord, that you would serve us today in abundance. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us to truth, your truth, not our truth, not anyone's truth, but your truth, the truth that leads and points to Christ, our Savior. This we ask, this we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen, Lord, and amen. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Who is this Rufus? Well, we discovered yesterday that his name means the red one. He's red. He's red. And we believe, although we have no conclusive evidence, this is not a certainty, this is a surmise. We believe that Rufus is the same Rufus mentioned in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. There was a man by the name of Simon a Cyrenian, and he was coming out of the countryside and into the city of Jerusalem when Jesus was on his way to Golgotha. Jesus stumbles and falls. He cannot get up. He can no longer carry his cross. And the Romans, were told in Mark 15:21, compelled, drafted by force. This is a forced draft. The Romans could draft anyone by force at any given moment, and you had no say. So the Romans compelled one, Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country. Mark says, you know this Simon. He is the father of Alexander and Rufus, and he was charged, he was compelled, he was forced to bear Christ's cross to Calvary. So we believe, since the Gospel of Mark was written to the Romans, and here Paul is saluting the Roman church, that the Rufus in Mark 15:21 and the Rufus here in Romans 16:13 is one and the same person, one and the same. So Paul goes on to say, now, not only do I want you to salute, which means I want you to hug and kiss and pour it on heavy on Rufus, but I also want you to do it to his mother, who also became my mother. We're talking about church mothers. The importance of having church mothers in the church. You know, even an apostle like Paul needed mothering. Mothering is wonderful. You know, you have some elderly women in the church who take care of people and give them motherly love. That motherly love goes a long, long way. As a young pastor, as a green, very raw pastor, I was blessed of the Lord to have many church mothers sitting in my church, and I would preach and I would do my thing for the Lord, and after every church service they said, mijo, mijo, which means son, son. They said, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep praying. Keep doing what you're doing. And I have so many church mothers, so many wonderful women of God over almost 40 years of ministry. Next year, 2023 will mark my 40th year in full-time ministry. And every step of the way, in every state that I've ever pastored in every church, God has blessed me, women like Rufus's mother. Now, of course, I had my mother and I had my grandmother, but there are church mothers. So here Paul says, I want you to salute his mother, who basically adopted me as her son, who loved on me and cared for me as she would her own Rufus and Alexander. Now, the question is, where did this take place? Where did this mothering take place? Well, I have a suggestion for you. Now, I don't know how accurate it is. I don't know if this is the actual place, but I believe we can go back to Acts 13. Go back to Acts 13 with me. And we want to start reading at verse 1. Now it says, now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets or preachers and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, or the black one. That's what the word Niger means. It means burnt face. A person with a burnt face is a black person. So, and you see the word Niger, that's where you get the word Negroid, a Negroid. So you have Barnabas the Jew. He's a Jew. Simeon the black man, called the Niger, nicknamed the Niger, the burnt one. And Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And Saul, that Saul is Paul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when the leaders had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. There is a possibility that this Simon here, Simon the Niger, now in Romans, it mentions his son Rufus, and then we trace that back to Mark 15:21, and there in Mark 15:21, he's called Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene is his place of origin. Cyrene is the place where he lived at. But here it's giving us, here in Acts 13, when it calls him Simeon or Simon the Niger, is giving us one of his physical features. What's one of his physical features? Well, that he was black, what we call black, or what we call he had African complexion. That's who the man was. So it's probably here at Antioch where the Apostle Paul was one of five key ministers. The church had five key ministers: Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manian, and Saul. It was in this church where they had five key ministers that possibly Rufus's mother was Paul's mother, because they were all at the same location. There's a possibility right there. Now, no, there's no way to prove this. There's no way to say with certainty this is where Paul received his mothering. But if you go here, I think this is a great possibility. And so here you have Rufus's mother becoming Paul's mother. And what do church mothers do? Well, church mothers advise. I remember I was the pastor of the church, and in my second pastor, because in my first pastor, I was an associate pastor. I was serving under a pastor in my first pastorate. And in my second pastorate, I was the lead pastor. And I remember having church mothers, and church mothers would come over and say, come here, Pastor, I want to talk to you. And they would say to me, look, you're the pastor, and I understand that, but let me just encourage you that maybe if you do, if you try things this way, you might get a little bit better result. And I know what they were doing. They were trying to help me. And that's what you call church mothering. And there were other women in the church who were church mothers who would hear from God, and they would say to me, you know, the Lord told me in a dream. And the Lord told me in a dream to pray for you because this year is going to be a tough year for you. We're going to be attacked a lot. And sure enough, the woman who told me she had that dream was spot on. And I took her. The moment she said to me, the Lord gave me a dream, and it's a warning for you. The moment she said that, I knew I could take that dream to the bank. You know, like when you take a check and you take it to the bank, and the reason why you take it to the bank is because that account has funds. These women are solid women. These aren't wishy-washy women. They're not. Listen, these women are strong in the Lord. I remember one time when I was a teenager, I wasn't even a pastor yet. And we had church mothers in the church that would tell the young people how to act and how to comport themselves. And I remember one time a church mother sitting me down and saying, listen, I want to encourage you. Because I was coming to church and I didn't bring my Bible for 3 weeks in a row. And the church mother said to me, Michael, you've been coming to church and I've been noticing no Bible. No Bible means no sword. Now, young man, it's important that when you come to the house of God, you bring your Bible and you open it and you read it. That's a church mother. We had church mothers who would tell the young ladies, hey, that skirt's too high. That is a mini skirt. You need to bring that skirt down to your knees. It's not good for a young lady to be showing all those legs. That's what church mothers used to do. And we need women like that. Women who watch out for the young people. Women who can instill good graces into the young people's minds and hearts. And so Paul, being a minister of Christ, had a woman doting on him, loving on him, encouraging him. The great apostle, the future great apostle, needed mothering. How many young people in our church today? You look at that youth society that we have. You look at that great group of children and young people that we brought up. Remember when we had that baptismal service? And I preached that message out of the book of Judges, how Manoah and his wife asked the angel of the Lord, how are they to instruct the child? After that sermon, I called all the young people up to be anointed, and they all came up. Look at all those young people that we have. They need mothering. And you say, but Pastor, they have a mother. Well, guess what? Paul had a mother. But there was another woman who acted like his mother. It doesn't hurt to have two scoops of mothering. You like two scoops of ice cream? Oh, yes, I love two scoops. In fact, give me three scoops of ice cream if you can sneak it by Sister Linda. Give me three scoops of ice cream. Of course, don't you think young people need extra mothering? They do. They do. How many young people could use a word of encouragement? How many young people can receive a word of edification? How many young people can receive a word of exhortation? You know, if you ever see any one of my four kids doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and Sister Linda and I are not around, I would expect the church mothers to come to one of my children and say, sweetheart, listen, I saw you do this, and let me just encourage you, don't do that. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. That is not becoming of you. And my children would receive it as any would receive it. We need mothering. And see, so here you have it. The great Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, is receiving mothering from someone else's mama. That's what we need. So if you're a father in Christ, and you have your own children, help father someone else's children. If you're a mother in Christ and you're mothering your own children, do overtime, mother someone else's kids. That's what the church is all about. Mothers and fathers covering for other mothers and fathers. That'll do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow as we venture to look at verse number 14. At this time, I want to leave you with the Barnes family. The Barnes, you know, whenever I think of the African-American church where I labored for so many years, and I want to listen to good old-fashioned African-American gospel music, I turn to the Reverend F.C. Barnes. Reverend F.C. Barnes is my favorite. Well, this is his son Luther and his daughters. Reverend F.C. Barnes at this time had already gone home to be with the Lord. So this is Luther and his sisters leading an old-fashioned revival medley. Until tomorrow, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and start reading chapter 17 in the Finney book. God bless.
And after the prayer, we'll share around the altar, just praising and thanking God. Come on, give God some praise. Put your hand together while we sing this song right here. Come on. Thank you. you know.